are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ever wondered why the forbidden fruit always seems to taste the sweetest? From the very beginning, temptation has been humanity's Achilles heel, drawing us into decisions we know we shouldn't make. So why is it that even when we know the consequences, we still can't resist it? We go back and back and back and back all the time. So let's explore the struggle with sin and why resisting it feels like fighting gravity. English today. We are joined on the line by Brother Dumisani Moyo to come and speak to us about this one. Hi, Muribuanje.
Hi, Siribino Muribuanje.
Tirebuino. I hope you are good.
I'm all right. You keep trying to ordain me as a pastor. I'm not a pastor, please.
It's coming, hey? I'm not a prophet, but maybe.
Maybe. No, thank you very much. Yes, it's actually, it's an interesting thing, what you had just said in the intro of sin. Why, if we know that sin is sin, why does it seem so good, though?
Because it's nice. You see this? I didn't say that out loud.
You didn't say it out loud. No, obviously not. But you know what the funny thing is? It's like a lot. It's if we really did think about it, if it wasn't something that we enjoyed, if a part of us did not enjoy it, or there were not some kind of reward to it, or we were not praised for certain sins, would we act? Or we got some? If we didn't get some kind of benefit, whether it be power or our own way, would we continue to go back to it? You know, it's like what you said, it tastes nice. There's something about it that calls for self-denial.
Yeah.
And that's something that for us is, maybe if I put it this way, the fruit in the Garden of Eden, do you think that fruit tasted poison? Do you think it tasted like poison?
Ish. I think, okay, so here's the thing. Firstly, dear listeners, it was not an apple. Firstly,
I think
why people actually even went to say it's an apple. Have you seen those? They are these red apples. I know that they're different types, but there's just that one red apple. I think it's a top red or something. You know, if you see it, they at these other shops, they love to even sprinkle water on them, so it looks like it's even shining. And with water, that thing is tempting. I won't lie. That's why we buy those apples. So, when I'm thinking about now, they drained it an apple, but whatever it was, I'm just thinking that it was that appetizing, that like, eat me now, you know? You know, they say we eat with our eyes first. They say we eat with our eyes first. So whatever it was, it was tempting.
It looked that good.
Yes.
Now, it's an interesting thing. I've also seen, like, when you say when you see people selling those kinds of apples, I'm not saying that the forbidden fruit was an apple, but you know those fruits when they actually look that good and they shine nicely. I've seen like some people actually polish the fruit so that it looks so much better. But then we also read the verse and it says that Satan was the salesman there, where he but then at the same time, this was something that that fruit, it says even in the verse in Genesis chapter 3 that it looked good.
Yeah.
It you know, she looked at the fruit and it looked good. And let's not lie to each other that sin looks bad most of the time. Sin doesn't look bad.
Okay.
The consequences are deadly, and not even deadly. The consequences is death, but it doesn't look that way from the beginning. And if it did, do you really think that we would be falling in and out most of the time? No, it's because if we were being honest with ourselves, it's not the sins that tempt us the most are the ones that, to us, we get the most benefit out of, or at least we think we get the most benefit out of.
Mm. Yeah, ne? So, but looking at, you know, we're spoken about how it's so tempting, you know, and everything else, you know. How can we now strengthen our willpower to resist this temptation? We know that it's tempting. Hey, take me, you know, indulge. But now, how can we now strengthen our willpower so that we may be able to resist this temptation in our daily life?
So the idea of strengthening our willpower, I guess I'll go into a little bit of psychology, just a little bit, to say that when it comes to human behavior,
okay,
coming up with new, it's one thing to say don't do, but it's another thing to then replace those things that we shouldn't do with the things that we probably should do. So I know that in behavioral science, they talk about neural pathways in the brain. And there's certain things that may trigger us to continue to go back to a certain kind of sin, whether it's our self-esteem or the way that something makes us feel, or even a certain circumstance that brings us to the place of going back to that sin. But the idea would be, okay, how do I form new habits so that not just fleeing away from sin, as the Bible says, to say, flee from sin, but the idea of submitting to God, fleeing from the rebuking the devil, and then he will flee. So the idea would come first to actually, what God does, he doesn't just say don't do. The first thing he does is he says, come to me first. If you come to me first, from there you'll know what are the good things to do. And it's going to be a difficult thing at the beginning to be able to take a will that is so used to going a certain direction or taking a certain path, whether it be lying to get our own way or to turning to a certain dependency that we may be able to get what we want, to then say, okay, no, I will resist. But that resisting will take some practical steps. So in some cases, yes, there is the praying, but at the same time, let's try to avoid being in the places that trigger us, or being around the people who trigger us, or being around the things that do trigger us. Because and maybe that also comes into the first step of actually asking God to show us what it is that does trigger us in the first place. Because sometimes we don't even know. We just say, I don't know why I do this thing. But there is a reason. There is a cause. So if we could get down to what that need is and what that that trigger is, and God could help reveal that to us for discernment, to know what it is, then be able to avoid those kinds of situations. Potiphar's wife, in the case of Joseph, Potiphar's wife came over to Joseph, and Joseph, realizing that this woman keeps telling me to be doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing, he fled, he ran away from that situation. He didn't just say no and stay around her. No, he said no and took off. So the same way that Christ calls us to say, you know what, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into heaven with one hand than to enter into damnation with both hands. So the idea would be, maybe in some cases it would take some drastic call away. For some people, it may be something that's so obvious. Yeah, don't go in. Don't go to the bar. You know, if that's the place that tempts you, don't go there. Don't go to the club saying that, I just want to go and dance. I'm not going to do anything. But that place would...
You are on a diet. Why go to McDonald's?
Why? You're on a diet. You know. Why are you going to McDonald's?
Yeah.
Or for some of us, maybe something lighter, maybe not as obvious. I remember someone actually saying, no, God, I knew that there were certain things that for me were things that maybe for everyone else it's not bad, but my devotion to that thing, it became definitely a God force. So someone said, I knew that God was calling me to quit golf. Golf is not a bad thing. It's probably even one of the things that you would say, but this is harmless. But if it calls you away from your more devoted to that than to God's service or to God himself, then, that's how I'm saying. You can't put a blanket to say, stay away from these, because certain people, it could be things that seem harmless as well.
No, I like that because, for example, with I remember this other day, this other pastor, I forgot what we were speaking about. I think it was more about social media, etc. And then he said, he raised the issue of algorithms, right? Saying that if we have searched something, for example, or maybe we're watching certain things on your phone, on your or Facebook or X, because yeah, some of these sites, ne, everything goes there. And then even if we have stopped, like, yeah, no, I've stopped doing this, but because the algorithm, there will be things that remind you and tempt you to click on a particular link, So saying that, you know what, ne, it's better to cut off. Yes, you can. Some people will like, hey, but I've built my social media profiles, I can't just delete it, but fill it now with things that are not going to tempt you to go back to those other things. So I like that. And also, like, if you are resisted, hey, even the Bible does say that flee, 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 don't walk, flee,
Flee.
because when you flee, it's proper. When you're fleeing, it's proper there, And so moving forward there, looking at, society, because there are certain sins that we have normalized as people, such as drinking, such as smoking, sometimes even swearing. It just rolls off the tongue, So looking at those, in terms of what role do we have as a society, play in normalizing certain sins, and mocking and making them more acceptable. Yes, in my house we might not do it, but the moment you step out of the house and the gate, it's normal. It's normal. People don't even feel ashamed to ask you for 2 rand so they can buy a cigarette,
It's an interesting thing. Again, is that it comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the week of, we live in a sinful world. Yeah, fine. You have control over your domain, your household, the way you go, but then you can't control how the world has fallen into sin. But the sad thing is, and I think you also mentioned something very, very important, that society does shape, does normalize a lot of sin. And I remember once upon a time you could never hear the name of God being used the way it is used nowadays. And it's become so, the name of God is just used so flippantly nowadays. And it does make me think though, nowadays you would think that, you can keep society out there. But nowadays, society comes right to you through our phones and everything. And everything is just, the more we view it, the more it becomes normal, And maybe the idea would then that then some people would say, oh, then that means, we shouldn't interact with anyone, because the maybe that's the solution. But then what we end up finding out is that though Jesus was, G Jesus' prayer was, let them be in the world, but not of it. The idea would come up to say that just because it is normal, it doesn't mean it is right. Or just because we can justify it, doesn't mean that it is right. Because believe me, the world can justify everything. You can find ways of being able to justify everything. But the word of God lets us know that yes, there's a way that seems right to a man. That means to community and even to society, that seems right. But the result or the end thereof is death. So it's a thought of yes, we normalize things, but that doesn't make it right. And I don't know whether it means that we should avoid society, or we should avoid, or that means that now we should, rather, something that a lot of people say is that we're supposed to be the change that we would like to see. But the Bible puts it a different way. Not that it's the principle is the same, but it says that we are letters written by Christ so that others may be able to look in and say that, oh, but these are different. These have been with Christ. By this, others will know that you are mine if you love one another. So the idea comes in that, and also there's the idea of be trans, don't be conformed. No, our idea is not to be conformed. Ours is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the word of Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus indwelling in us. But he will not come in unless he is invited in. He knocks at the door. He's not, unlike the devil, who is a rapist, who is a forceful person, who is a stranger, who comes in to try, steal, kill, and destroy. God himself, the one who has all right to force himself in, rather knocks on the door and says, you know what, let me in. But as soon as I'm in, the enemy can't come inside here.
Yeah, sure.
You
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. And
know?
as you're saying about that, this thing about being the change that we want to see. I wanted to do a mini devotion today, this morning, about this, but yeah, I got sidetracked because there's a lot going on here, dealing with tech issues here, someone yesterday, so there's this couple here in South Africa, they were loved by everyone, and then they're splitting, they're divorcing, and then it just caused the whole nation is like, what? Those kind of things. And someone, on this other radio station was saying that it's because those people, they represented an ideal. They were ambassadors of this marriage union. And I was like, and I'm like, now with our lives, are we an ideal for people when they're saying a Christian, when they look at Brother Dumisani, as they're saying, you understand? Are they drawn to this thing that we love so much because of how we carry ourselves? How we live, even in this society, the society, fine, a lot of things happening there, but are we even making a difference in the society where sometimes when they want to act, in large families, that there's that uncle, some not because they have money, but there's that uncle that if he has not spoken on an issue, it's not a
no
dandy.
One moves.
No one moves, I know sometimes, it's equated to money, but also that aunt. If she comes and sees there's a hot issue, you understand? Are we those people in the society as Christians? Or we're like, each to his own, So it comes
you
to
know,
that.
Yeah. And I like the way you've put it, actually. We should be that difference, that someone should be able to, not because we have this influence. And I like what you put forward about, representing an ideal. It's a calling. It's also a ministry to be able to be a reflection of Christ in our day. I like a song that says, "Can Jesus be seen in me?" And it also means that when we are that example, the enemy will make sure that temptation seems all the more sweeter to us, because he knows that if he attacks that ideal, if he attacks that those people who are trying to make a change, he knows that he can then twist a lot of other people.
Yeah.
So we should also be praying for those who we see in our societies. That auntie, that uncle, if you are that uncle, if you are that auntie, or you have that family member who you know that, but you know what, this person has been that example. I haven't reached that.
Yeah.
But then for that person, I continue to pray for those people as well. If you are that person, I think even at the end of this, we will have to say a prayer for that too.
Yeah.
But then the idea would be that, you know what, when, and maybe the pressure shouldn't be, I have to be different. No, the only thing that should be a pressure to us is keep your eyes on Christ. Because when you do keep your eyes on Christ, naturally you will be different. It won't be about having to try and maintain some kind of facade or some kind of mask. It will be just about follow Christ, keep your eyes on him. And when sometimes maybe our eyes fall off of him, let us, like Peter, go over to him and say, "Lord, save me." And he comes in and rescues. So when we do fall apart, let us not think that because society has condemned me, which, by the way, society will build you up.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, as soon as they do, and if something goes wrong, they're the same ones who will break you down.
Yeah.
But Christ says that, no, even when you fall, come back to me. A righteous man falls seven times, but gets back up. So don't fall by the wayside and just think that it's all lost. But that even though the mistake has happened, and even though sin has somehow gotten that hold, come back to the one who is able to save. By your willpower, he can't force his way in. You have to call on Christ for him to come in. But once he's in, the devil must flee.
So as we wrap up, Brother Dumsani, you know, so we can offer that prayer. I love it when whenever we do discussions and then we pray. I always tell my team, let's dedicate, you know, time for prayer so it's not rush, rush, you know. But as we...
It's hard to do, especially when you're in the work of God. You know this because you'll find that just something that was working just 5 minutes ago suddenly will just suddenly start acting up. But yes, you were saying, yes, as we're wrapping up.
Yeah, so as we wrap up, you know, looking at, you know, we mentioned the issues of people fleeing, you know, when they are tempted and stuff. But what are the steps, you know, practical, so that we can take as people, you know, to avoid, you know, falling into the trap of temptation? Is it that necessarily avoiding people or working on yourself to have that willpower to say no, even when it seems like this one, you know, it's getting too much?
So I think it's a thing of both. Some people we may have to avoid. I believe that God also brings the right kind of people. So yes, there's avoiding, but remember that besides just avoiding the wrong things, we should try to surround ourselves with the right things. Because when we empty ourselves of something, there's usually a vacuum there, and something is going to fill that space. Jesus once said that when a demon is entered out, I mean, has exited out of one place, and the place is swept clean and it's left empty, when the devil comes back and he sees that the place is empty, then he will come back with seven more deadly than himself. So the idea would be we need to fill in those spaces with that which is good. Maybe I'll give a practical step. For some who, well, I know something that in my own experience that worked was the idea of, yes, being able to separate from certain company, like certain friends that were not the best company. But then the other side of it would be to then put steps in your day that will help to be better. For example, you know that you get up to no good after 10 o'clock. Go to sleep before 10. Make sure that you are not in you. Sometimes actually to avoid sin, just sleep. But then the other thing would be make sure that you have time set out in your day that are for prayer, that are for devotion. And I'm not saying that then this will take care of everything, but it helps to make sure that you are pursuing God, that you are not fleeing from God, that you are not just surrounding yourself with the world, but then that you are putting things in your day that are there for God. The other things I would say is open up to someone who you know you can trust, whether it be in your well, godly counsel, obviously, whether it be people who are within your church or whether it's people who are within your family. But we're talking about godly counsel, people who, when you're falling into a certain temptation, and you know, and you can actually be honest with this person to be able to say, yeah, but then this thing, it looks too good. I can't resist. I need help. This is someone who can, you, this helps you to be accountable, helps you to, you know, keep eyes on yourself. At the same time, it calls for a discipline of ourselves as well. So yes, like you said, work on yourself. If there's certain habits in your day, like for me, I know that if I'm idle, I think too much. So if I'm idle, it's a bad place to be in. So instead of turning towards something just to escape, go to the gym or do something that's productive. Go into the garden. All that time you've been thinking, you know what, I've always wanted to do this and that. Maybe if it's to travel, or maybe if it's to become more fit, get something into your life that you know would be productive, and you can look back on the day and say, but you know what, I have done this thing. And the same way that sin creeps in day by day, moment by moment, there are good things that we can put into our day, that day by day, it's not like you work out one day, the next day you have huge muscles like Schwarzenegger. No, you know that as the days go
you are
by,
exposing your age then. But
I
continue.
wish it was. I wish it was. But then, yeah, the idea would be that you build up slowly and surely, the same way that you think that people would say, no, I learned how to go through the Bible by going through it at, you know, like the whole of the Old Testament in one day. No, it's day by day, verse by verse, going through it. Those little moments, as bad habits are built, good habits can be built the same way and have more of a benefit. So let us remember what the goal is and where we want to be and where God wants us to be. That's eternity, and with a purpose and with a hope. Sin only has one thing in mind for us, and the devil only has one thing in mind for us, and that's death. So when we remember that, no, the long-term goal has never been that the devil loves me, or even these sinful things like they're there for my love or for my good. No, it's there just to destroy. And if we remember that, along with the fact that we want to be where God wants to guide us to, the temptations won't stop, but God will continually guide us step by step.
Please do pray. Today I won't say for what. The Lord will guide you.
All right, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we are grateful for not just what you do, but for who you are. We first of all know that your grace is even shown in the fact that we're able to present today, because we are not perfect ourselves. So we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, but also that all who are listening and who are in this conversation with us and with you, that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, help us to realize that you came that we may be able to overcome sin, not to live within it, neither to be trapped by it, but rather to be freed. For you say that if you set us free, the Son sets us free, then therefore we will be free indeed. Father, there are those who represent you in our lives, who have stood in the gap for us so many times, and yet they themselves have struggles. The enemy is after them, comes after their, whether it's their finances, their families, their rest. Father, give them peace. Give them the strength that you need to be able to give them. We know that the enemy comes through with temptation, but along with that temptation, you give a way out. You say that in your word. So we ask, Lord, that you would show us that way out. Give us the ability to be able to discern when it is you who is speaking to us and when it is the enemy, and help us to be able to flee from the enemy and rather to submit to you, flee from the enemy, and indeed be able to resist when temptation comes in, not by our own power, not by our own might, but by your spirit. And so we ask that you would help us, gather us together, and bring us closer to you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Brother Dumisani, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
You have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.